Let's turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning with verse 38. Jesus is in the final 6 months of his ministry before the cross. And Luke tells us, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. He has left the Galilee region. He will spend the final 6 months of his ministry down near Jerusalem and down by the Jordan River. It happened that they went to a certain village, or they entered a certain village. This village, John tells us in his gospel, was Bethany. Bethany is on the Mount of Olives. It is away from Jerusalem toward the Judean wilderness. You go over the top of the Mount of Olives away from Jerusalem, and as you come and you crest the hill and start down the other side, you have the little village of Bethany. It was within 2/3 of a mile from the Temple Mount. And so, if you came to Jerusalem to observe the various feasts, you could spend your time in Bethany and still be within the Sabbath law as far as walking to Jerusalem from Bethany for the feast there on the Temple Mount. And so, it is thought that Jesus often stayed with Lazarus and Mary and Martha there in Bethany. He would usually stay there when he would attend the feast. We're told that a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now, Mary and Martha were sisters. They had a brother, Lazarus. From John's gospel, we're quite familiar with the story of Lazarus' sickness and their sending for Jesus. We are told in John's gospel that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. There was a very close, intimate fellowship between Jesus and this family. When they sent the message to Jesus concerning Lazarus' illness, they just said, "The one that you love is sick." So there was a special attachment, special relationship between Mary and Martha, Lazarus and Jesus. Martha was the one who, when word came that Jesus was approaching the village of Bethany, left the mourners, and she ran down the road and met him outside of the village as he was on his way up from Jericho. And she said, "Lord, if you would only have been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother will live again." She said, "Oh, yes, I know, Lord, the last day, the great resurrection." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." "Martha," he said, "do you believe this?" And she affirmed her faith in Jesus. And so this is that same Martha. Martha, the one that Jesus loved. Martha, who no doubt was a very gracious hostess. Luke tells us that she had a sister called Mary. As John introduces Mary in his gospel, he said, "This is the Mary that anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair." John tells us that Bethany was the town of Mary. Mary was probably one of those very popular, gracious, vivacious women who just sort of, well, it was just the town of, Bethany was the town of Mary. I mean, anybody in town knew Mary. It was the town of Mary. It was sort of identified with Mary. Now, Bethany was the town of Mary. It is interesting that Martha welcomed him into her house, but the town belonged to Mary. The house belonged to Martha. The town belonged to Mary. In John's gospel again, after Lazarus was raised from the dead, Jesus came to their house and they had a feast. And we are told in John's gospel that Martha served and Mary anointed Jesus with costly ointment, the feet of Jesus, and wiped them with her hair. So, true to form, as Lazarus has been raised from the dead, they have a feast. Martha is serving and Mary is worshiping. She's taking the costly ointment, pouring it upon the feet of Jesus, and wiping his feet with her hair. So we see the different temperaments of these sisters, and those sisters vastly different in temperament. Now, in this account in Luke, there was a woman named Martha who welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and was listening to his words. So again, Martha and Mary. And as you read the next verse, but Martha was distracted with much serving. So here we find them again, Martha serving, Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, worshiping, learning, listening to the words of Jesus. Martha out in the kitchen, busy, busy, busy. It's interesting here, though, and it's something that you need to pay attention to. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet. Now, that also sat at Jesus' feet indicates to us that she also was serving. And she had been serving, but along with her serving, she also sat at the feet of Jesus listening to his word. So she served and was sitting also. She took time for both. But with Martha, she was just so busy serving that she didn't have time to sit at Jesus' feet. There are always those people who just can't seem to do enough. While they're doing one thing, two more things pop up that need to be done. And while they're taking care of those two things, four more pop up. And they never seem to finish serving. There's always something else. There's always one more little touch. There's always one more thing that needs to be done. And they're just constantly busy, busy. Now, Martha was distracted with much serving. It is actually, she was driven to distraction. So much to do that she became upset with her serving. She was driven to distraction. She was so upset that she came to Jesus, who was the guest, and she sort of rebuked him. She said, Lord, Don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So much to be done. There's so much work to do. Trying to get things ready so we can have a feast and feed you and all. And Mary's left me alone to do it all. Doesn't that bother you, Lord? She was upset with it. And of course, if I'm upset with something, the Lord ought to be upset with it too. And she comes and sort of rebukes the Lord. Doesn't it mean anything? Don't you care, Lord, that she's just left all the work up to me? And then she ordered the Lord, tell her to help me. Lord, get her busy. There's just lots to be done. Tell her to help me. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha. And in that repetition of her name, there is a warmness, there's an intimacy, there's a closeness. Oh, Martha, Martha. Here she's all upset. She's disturbed. She's been driven to distraction. There's so much to be done. And those kind of people can always find more than can possibly be done, you know. So much to do. Here I'm trying to do it alone. I just can't do it. I can't do it. Lord, doesn't it bother you that Mary's just sitting there and she's left me alone to serve? Tell her to help me, Lord. Martha, Martha, you are full of care. You're worried and you're troubled about many things. Oh, what a picture Martha is of so many people. Full of care, troubled about so many things. You know, Marthas are important and necessary in our world. I hate to think of what a sloppy world this would be if we didn't have the Marthas. They make a better world, there's no doubt about that. They're greatly needed. They're wonderful people. They want to make certain that everything is in order. Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Oh, how true that is. So often we find ourselves worried and troubled about many things when in reality one thing is really needed. We can actually get by without a lot of things. She was troubled with many things, but really they weren't that important. You know, a lot of these little nagging things that we get caught up with aren't really that important, and yet they have the capacity of driving us to distraction. You want to get it just right. And you work and you work and you work to get it just right. And you redo it. And then you stand back and look, and then you do it over again. And you're so persnickety until finally you just are, it can drive you to distraction. Troubled about many things, but there's one thing that's really needful. One thing is really important. You can let these others go. But there's one thing you should not let go. One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that. You're troubled about many things. One thing is really needful, and Mary has chosen that good part. And Jesus said, it will not be taken away from her. And so we have service to the Lord and worship of the Lord demonstrated in these two sisters. One is all caught up in service, doing, doing, doing. In fact, she's doing so much that she's distracted. Distracted from what? Distracted from the Lord Himself. So caught up in service that she's lost sight of the Lord, lost sight of worship. So busy doing for the Lord things of service that she has neglected the most important, and that is worship. Service is important, but worship is more important. And it is possible for us to be caught up in service to the extent that we lose sight of Jesus. I have met people who have been absolutely burned out in their service for the Lord. They've served till they are just distracted. And it's tragic that a person can get so caught up in their doing the things of service that they miss out on that which is truly needful, just sitting at Jesus' feet to learn, to hear, to worship. We hear so much emphasis today on service. So many sermons on service. What we ought to be doing for the Lord. But we don't hear too many sermons on the needful thing. Just sitting at the feet of Jesus to learn, to hear, to worship. Now, as I pointed out, that's not to say that Mary didn't serve. She served, but she also sat at the feet of Jesus. She took also that needful thing. To her service was added the dimension of sitting to learn, sitting to hear, sitting at His feet to worship. Having chosen that better part, Jesus said, I'm not going to take it away from her. It's a better part. Worship, according to Jesus, is more important than service. When Jesus wrote to the church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, He said, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience. I know all about you. I know all the things you are doing. And twice he mentions their labors. They were a working church. They were an active church. Things were always bustling in Ephesus. They have programs going all the time. I know thy works and thy labors and thy patience. Fully aware of it. But, he said, I have this against you. Because you've left your first love. They had all the motions, but somehow they had lost the emotion. And Jesus declared that he was not satisfied with just the motions. Therefore, remember from whence thou art fallen, repent, and do thy first works over, or I'm going to move the candlestick out of its place, or I will take my presence from the church. He doesn't want just service, just your doing for him. He wants your love. So many times what we are doing, we're doing on the basis of sort of a law relationship. If I do this for the Lord, then surely he ought to do this for me. And so often we hear people expressing this concept and this idea. When something goes wrong, things didn't fall in line like they were hoping and wanting them to, they begin to accuse God, because I've done so much for the Lord and look what he's allowed, or look what he's done, you know, when I've done so much. But it isn't all of the things that we've done for the Lord that really concern him. What he's really concerned with is you just taking some time and just sitting at his feet to learn, to worship, to love. And Mary had chosen that better. Now, Jesus loved Martha. We are told that in John. Jesus loved Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus. Or he loved Martha and her sister. Doesn't even name Mary. He loved Martha and her sister and her brother Lazarus. But he appreciated Mary just sitting at the feet to worship. Question. How much time have you spent just sitting at his feet to worship? Just sitting at his feet to express your love, to express your appreciation for all that he's done for you. Just taking that time to sit at the feet of Jesus. That is the time that he counts as valuable time, or what is often called quality time. Just sitting, worshiping. May God help us, that we might learn from the text tonight, that we might learn from Mary. The Lord won't take that away from you. That's something that he appreciates and longs for, just that fellowship, just sitting at his feet to love and to worship. Let's do it. Let's do it more. Father, we thank you for that great love that we have experienced, that loving relationship that we've come into. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of just sitting at your feet to worship you, just to hear your voice. Just to look adoringly upon your face. Just to express, O Lord, by our actions, by our attitudes, how much we do love you and how much we thank you, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, if we as Martha have tried so hard that we've been distracted from the most important thing. Forgive us, Lord, for the labor without love. The labor that's just sort of frantic. And help us, Lord, sit at your feet and worship.
In Jesus' name, Father.